All right. Good evening. Can you guys hear me okay? Okay. I'm still getting whatever this is working through, so bear with me if you will. But I do want to open up with some announcements, and then we'll open in prayer after that. So a couple announcements as we look at some upcoming events and activities. One thing for sure I want to make sure you know about is Britt has, what did you say, like eight cards left from our Missionary All-Stars little, I call them baseball cards, but they're little cards for our missionaries. So if you did not get one and would like one, she's got some over here as well. And love seeing those go away, all the kids grabbing those and stuff like that. Yes, ma'am?
Yeah, I just wanted to say how much I love these.
Yes.
And they're better than baseball cards because they're like credit cards. They fit right in your wallet.
Yeah, yeah.
So you carry them around with you. And I love how succinct they are in the back. And I praise God that he led you to do this because I think it's such a great idea.
Yeah. I got a piece of gum this morning, too, because of that. So I was all about that. And it was like 15 seconds. I put that gum in my mouth, and it was rubber, like no time. Yes, yeah. But anyway, no, that's awesome. So definitely appreciate Britt doing all that for us. So if you need one, grab one, and we will have more of those upcoming as well. Widows and Widowers Banquet, definitely want to encourage you to be thinking about how you can be plugged into that. I kind of peeked at the sign-up sheet. It looks like there's definitely some spots filling in, so love that. So would love to see you guys sign up if you can to help you to do that. Also, don't forget, we have our Baptism Sunday coming up on Easter Sunday, so we'd love to see more get involved in that. If you know somebody that has never been baptized following their salvation in Christ, we'd love to encourage them to do that. Right now, we're at 4. We were at 3 originally. We've added one more since then, so we're excited for that. And so praying the Lord will continue to draw those in that need to be baptized. 30 pieces of silver offering is coming up on Palm Sunday, so don't miss out on that, as well as you've been egged. So the eggs will be there with a little bag. Your name will be on it if you signed up, and all that you need will be in there. And then as well, 30 pieces of silver will have a little box or something. They'll have all the pouches in there. You can grab one of those. I do encourage you, if you take one, please bring it back. If you take one and you're not able to get it filled, you forget about it, whatever it might be, please still bring it back, okay? Because we're just going to keep reusing those same pouches over the next couple of years. And so again, everything that comes in through the 30 pieces of silver offering is for missions. We don't have a specific thing in missions to give it to just yet. So what we decided to do was, instead of waiting for that, we're going to collect it, kind of set it aside, and then we know we've got that ready to go if there is a need that comes up with our missionaries. And so again, just encourage you to be a part of that as well. Good Friday service is Friday, April 3rd. Don't forget about that. We'd love to have you join us at 7 p.m. Child care will be provided as well. Yes, Sandra. Yep, so looking for 2 to 3 adults that'd be willing to help Good Friday with 1st through 6th grade child care, okay? So if you're interested in that, please see Sandra, let her know. And then I know Emma Proctor put something out on Facebook about that as well for the nursery, and so see her if you have any questions on that. Yeah, she's going to be 5 and under. And then 1st through 6th will be with Sandra. So if you're interested in helping with that, but at least 2 to 3 that can help kind of just with childcare during the Good Friday service, all right? The teens have an all-nighter coming up on April 10th and 11th. So don't forget about that, 10 p.m. on the 10th to Saturday, 7 a.m. for them. Totally free event as well. Secret Sister questionnaire is due today. So if you did not turn that in, please do so. Also, Word of Life costume night. It's coming up this Wednesday, the 25th, and then April 4th, don't forget, we have our men's prayer breakfast going on as well, so I'd love to have you guys join us for that. Also, don't forget, Easter Sunday, we'd love to encourage you to invite someone to join you, so out at the Welcome Center, we have these invites. We'd love to have you grab one if you'd like to use it, or a couple. You can go around to your neighbors, you can give it to people at work, whatever it might be. Really simple invite. The QR code just takes them to our website, so it gives them a chance to kind of learn more about our church. So grab one of these. We'd love to have you invite someone to join us for Easter Sunday, all right? With that, that's all the announcements I have, unless there's any questions about anything upcoming events or activities that I can answer before we spend some time in prayer. Again, just had a great time yesterday with the skating event. Love seeing so many families come together. Again, I think we had 143 that were in attendance, and so that was awesome. But seeing so many kids out there, no injuries, which was cool, and everybody seemed to have a good time. So with that as well, last night, it was great to hear. I didn't get to talk to everybody this morning, but I heard from a few people the enjoyment they had just spending time at dinner for six. So hopefully if you were a part of that, you enjoyed yourself. So a huge praise to those that hosted. We actually had twice as many hosts this year as last year, which was really cool. So we really didn't even like need as many hosts as we had, but we were able to kind of spread it out a little bit, and it was great. And we actually had more involvement overall this year than last year, which is always cool to see as well. Couples getting together, individuals getting together, and just hanging out. It's always a good time to build that fellowship, to build that community. So praising the Lord for that as well this weekend. I think that's everything. I'm just trying to think if there's anything else I got to mention. Oh, don't forget Easter Sunday. I probably don't need to say this, but I will. It is in the bulletin. No PM service. Easter Sunday, no PM service. And then communion next week. Don't forget we have communion on Palm Sunday. I think that's everything. All right. We'll go ahead and open in prayer or for prayer and praise request. So if anyone has a prayer request or a praise, we'd love to open up with that. If you guys would continue to remember, I mentioned this before, Grace, Sandra's cousin Grace, her husband Pedro, has been battling sickle cell anemia, right? His whole life, but recently it's gotten worse. And so they just didn't give him the best diagnosis here recently, forecasting out with that. So just be praying for Grace and Pedro. They do have three children, young children, so I want to be praying for that as well, that the Lord will just bring healing there and comfort and all of that as well. But anyone else, a prayer request or a praise before we pray? Claudette and then Avi.
Can
you
ask for prayer for Jaden?
Yes.
And everything checked out.
Amen. Okay.
Don't stretch.
Don't do that anymore. Yeah, yeah. It hurts every time I do this. Well, don't do that anymore. Yeah, that's great medical advice. Wow. So are they going to pursue anything else or just... Well, let's be praying for Jaden that the Lord would bring healing there and that if he does by chance stand, stretch, and yawn at the same time, he's okay. Wow, that's incredible to me. But let's be praying for that and for the Lord to bring healing there. Okay, Avi, and then we'll go over to Britt because you raised your hand, I think.
Yeah.
Amen.
And just how the Lord knit the group together, our personal group together, and just what a sweet time of fellowship it was. It was just
Amen.
Really beautiful.
Yeah.
And I was just really thankful that, you know, it was a stretch for me, and I'm glad it was a stretch. It was just good. It was a good thing because it forced me to like, okay, you have to have somewhere for people to sit, so let's get the living room in order. You have to have somewhere for them to eat, so let's get a table set up.
Amen.
And just so many things, again, that people in this church have been involved with and supporting and lifting me up in prayer. So just so many praises. I'm just so tired that I can't even remember them all. I can be like, oh, I got a praise for that. And then I forget. So, but just a lot of praise. Just so many things, in spite of everything.
Sure.
You know, I'm just so thankful to the Lord for the home that he's provided.
Amen.
It's such a beautiful home. I just am so thankful that just, I really love it. And,
Amen. Sure, yeah.
Unfortunately, so it's bittersweet.
Yeah.
And I'm like having emotions that I wasn't expecting.
Sure.
So, you know, so there's that. And also, I feel like I'm free-falling, you know, so, like, I'm in this new place and this new everything, and, like, so this is, like, this church is really extra precious right now because it's, like, the comfortable, you know, right?
Yeah.
Because I know it and I know the people. So, but just, like, as I settle into whatever the Lord has for me,
yeah,
you know, just that, you know, God would help me just to kind of let all the dust to settle and give me clarity as to what's next.
Amen. Yeah, no, well, first, thank you for your transparency. I think I love that you're always so willing to just be real and say, like, hey, this is what I need prayer for, because a lot of people in church don't do that, and it's unfortunate because we kind of rob ourselves of the opportunity to have people praying for us specifically. So let's be lifting Avi up, continue to lift her up in prayer for, obviously, as everything ramps up with the situation and the divorce and everything, the Lord will just be in all of it. Comfort, ease, all those things. Continue to pray for Kevin, for the Lord to work there in his heart, and just with everything else, all the logistical stuff, that God will just be in all of it. It'll be as smooth as possible. And obviously, we know the Lord's going to be glorified in it. So we want to pray that will continue to happen. But just a huge praise for, and one of the ladies that were at the house stopped me this morning, and she just was so, she said, my face hurt from all the laughing that we were doing. So it was a huge praise to those ladies as well, that you were able to be a blessing to them. So yeah, I appreciate that for sure. So amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
And then my brother was telling me that he could not find his Bible, and he was open to me sending him a Bible.
Oh, amen.
So I sent that over to him, and he had one now, and we were talking about how my great-grandmother had one, and my grandmother and my mother, and I have those. Are you interested in having one of those? And he is. And
oh, wow. Yeah.
Oh, and then.
Whoop. Is this the fourth one?
That's the fourth.
You said three. Oh, okay. All right. Go ahead. It's allowed. Go ahead.
So he has a tendency to look at stuff, Joe does, half glass full instead of. No, half glass empty.
Okay. That's awesome.
And
yeah.
So we bought Joe a bracelet, and he was tickled to death with it, that his 40 could have ended last year. And he's had a change of events, and things are turning around, and this could be his 40.
Oh, amen.
He's just tickled about it, so I appreciate everyone's continued prayer for him.
Yeah. And they're still looking for a church, as far as you know? Okay. Okay. yeah, he'll get there. Amen. Yeah, so praise the Lord for all the Lord's doing, bringing healing to Britt and her back and everything. So pray for that. Continue to pray for Joe, that he'll find a church, him and his wife. Praise the Lord that he wanted the Bible and hungry for that. That's amazing to see how God is working. So yeah, praise the Lord. Amen. Absolutely. Anyone else? A prayer request or a praise? Yeah, Kelsey.
I have two prayer requests. It's from one from Linda Wilcox. She mentioned Alvin, and she said Albert had a bad fall, and he's a man with a colon, and they can wake him up from the colon. So a turbine? Yes.
Turbine?
Yes. Albert turbine. Yep, I just didn't write down the last name.
Okay. Okay.
And then Layla, she didn't get the best results, and she would like prayers for a large stone that's matter-lipped kidney and polyps on the outside, gallbladder and stones in the gallbladder.
Okay. Okay. Let's be praying for Layla for healing there with what's going on with her kidney and everything. I want to pray for healing, of course, with that. And then pray for Robin Turpening's husband, Albert, right?
Yeah.
And this fall and coma situation, praying for the Lord to work there as well. So we're praying for that, absolutely. Anyone else? A prayer request or a praise?
When is your heart appointment?
April. I just got a date. I think it's around the middle of April.
Okay. Be praying for Lynn for her upcoming appointment with the heart doctor, middle of April or so. Well, let's be praying for, we want to be praying for, obviously, this coming weekend, the weekend after with Palm Sunday and Easter. Bless you. There's going to be people coming out to church, not just our church, but churches in our community. The gospel would go forth. People would come to Christ. So let's add to that, not just growth and like a crowd on Sunday for Easter, but continued attendance, right? Continued consistency, that if somebody comes out to a church on Easter Sunday, that they'll return the next Sunday and the next Sunday. It's great to have people on Easter Sunday, but we'd love to see that continue, not just be a one-day big explosion of growth, and then it trickles off. Let's pray for the Lord to give consistency there, and that people will renew that faith, right? Have that faith renewed, draw close to him, all those things we love to see. And again, not just for North Goodland, but any church in our community that's preaching the gospel, we want to see that for them for sure. So let's be praying for that as well. Avi.
And to go along with that, so I don't know how this happened, but they are releasing a movie about George Whitfield.
Okay.
Yes. George Whitfield. Like a movie in the theaters is coming out about George Whitfield.
Okay. Like Hollywood type movie, you mean? Okay.
Yeah. It's not like an actual, a good movie.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, that's awesome.
And he was responsible. God used him as a tool for the Great, was the Second Great Awakening, right? Because Edwards was the first Great Awakening.
Yeah, it'd be the Second Great Awakening, yeah.
So because of that, though, and with Easter, and I do, not enough, I wish I did every day. I should probably do something about that, but anyway, pray for the awakening, for God
yes.
to awaken our nation. And,
yeah. Yeah.
God, and because he says, if you ask anything in my name.
Yes. Yep.
You know, if it's meaning according to his will, if it would glorify him, how could he not be glorified through an awakening?
Right. Yep.
So I just pray that we would, as a church, be praying for an awakening.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it starts in our individual hearts and minds, but it also starts in the local church, and then it just spills out, right? And so, yeah, absolutely. And I know people are praying for that, of course, but man, there's something that when the body of Christ begins to really seek the throne in that way. I think God answers in a supernatural way. And I would love to see that. And you hear things like this around this time of year. There's shows that come out, movies that come out, all kinds of things. And I say, let's steer into it, right? Like if people are talking about it, let's use it as an opportunity, right? To make Christ known. So yeah, let's be praying for that. For God, I love that word awakening. For God to awaken our nation to the things of Christ. Our community, our state, right, Lapeer County, make it as specific as we can. And that's where we're going to see real transformative change, right? When it starts with Christ on the inside. So absolutely, let's be praying for that. Anyone else? Let me ask this real quick, because as you said that just there, just so you guys know, the church office is open Monday through Thursdays, 9 to 4:30. If any of you would ever like to come up to the church and just spend time praying, if that would be easier. We can pray anywhere. I'm not saying you have to pray here. God's the same at your house. But sometimes it is different when we can kind of separate away from the everyday routine of things and kind of a space. If that's something you would ever want to do, just so you know, the building's open. So you're welcome to come up and pray in the auditorium or whatever and spend some time in prayer. If that would be a help to you, just so you know, that's always available. We have had people say that before, hey, is it okay if I come pray at the church? Yes, you can pray at the church. So it's always going to be a yes. So if there's cars here, the building's open. So feel free to do that if that would be a help to you. Again, to begin to pray those things specifically. But if there's nothing else, we'll go ahead and spend some time in prayer. Any other prayer concerns? Yes. Yeah, okay.
Did this review on its movie, and it's supposed to be really phenomenal.
That's awesome. Okay, yeah. Do you know when it's supposed to come out?
April 3rd.
Yeah.
April 3rd. Okay. Yeah.
And I think the church, like our church, to see it as a group, it would be fun. And so, but yeah, because like I even preachers that were religion said out of all the preachers, like the preachers that were like the Spurgeons, the this, the that, like they say Whitfield.
Yeah. He was an evangelist through and through. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They all say like he was the one. Or is it Whitfield? Well, whatever. Anyway, it's still going to be a good movie.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. If you guys are interested and able to do it, that would be great. Yeah, for sure. For sure. I think we're going to be on vacation that week. But yeah, no, definitely see it if you can. For sure. That's awesome. So, all right. Well, let's go ahead and pray. And we'll ask the Lord to be with our time this evening and these requests. Father, we do come before you tonight, Lord, just so thankful for your word and the opportunity to study it together as the body of Christ. Father, we pray that you would be with these requests that have been given. And Lord, we do thank you for Britt's back, the improvement there. Pray that would continue. Strengthen her, Lord. Give her ease, comfort. Be with Lynn as she's got this appointment coming up in April with this heart doctor. Just give wisdom there. Father, we thank you for Joe, his desire to be in the Word, his desire to find a church. I pray that you would lead him and his wife to the church that's the best fit for them, where they can grow and connect and be discipled and grow in Christ and just all those things that they need. And so, Lord, would you work in that? Father, we thank you for all that you're doing in our midst over the weekend, the different events and activities and things going on, Lord, the fellowship, the community that's being built, the dinner for six. Thank you for the hosts that opened their homes, Lord, whether it was, I know it's not always convenient, Lord, to do that at times, and it is a lot, but I'm so thankful for them, their willingness to do that so that relationships can grow and we can get to know each other even better and be able to effectively pray and encourage one another. Thank you for the encouragement that it was to hear so many that were just had a great time, that were encouraged by Dinner for Six. And Lord, we just pray that you would be glorified as we continue to move through this service. Lord, open our hearts and minds to what you have for us. Lord, we do pray that you would be with Albert Turpening. Lord, just bring healing there. Just ease the discomfort that I'm sure Robin and the family are feeling. So just comfort them, work in that situation, and bring, again, healing there to him. Father, we do pray for Layla, that you would be with his issues with her kidney, Lord, and these stones. And I just pray that you'd bring healing there. Again, I can only imagine the discomfort that she might be feeling. I pray you just work in that, Lord, and just ease that pain and help things to be able to pass and to move as they should and give the doctors wisdom. Father, for Jaden, we do pray that you would just bring healing there. Lord, I just pray that you would, if there is a need to seek a different medical opinion, to get more information, I pray that you would lay that on the parent's heart to be able to do that, Lord. But whatever your will is here, we just pray that you, as the great physician, would bring healing and comfort to him, Lord. And Father, just watch over him, be with him. Father, we think of Pedro, Grace's husband, with this recent diagnosis, Lord, which isn't good. Just ease that discomfort, that pain. And we pray, Lord, that you would do something in that situation that would obviously bring glory to you. And we thank you for them, Lord. And just such a young couple to be going through something like this with three young children, I just can't imagine. And so I pray that you'd work in a mighty way, Lord. And Father, we pray that you would just be with whatever else is going on in our hearts and minds this evening, things that maybe weren't mentioned. I pray that you would work in each one as you see fit. And again, bring glory to your name. Father, we pray for the awakening that is desperately needed in this nation, in this state, in this community. Lord, every day we see more and more examples of how fallen and broken this world is. Every day we see a different way of understanding how desperately we need you. And Lord, so often we as human beings, we try to fix it in the ways that we think are best. Lord, I'm not opposed to voting in the right person. But voting someone into a political office is not going to fix our nation. Lord, it starts with the revival of the Holy Spirit working in the hearts and minds of individuals, bringing people to Christ, drawing them closer that we would walk in Christ. It's through the local church that you say you will change the world. It is through the local church that you will communicate your gospel to the nation, to the world around us. So, Father, I pray that as we are in a season right now where many people are thinking about church or services or Easter, and maybe just because their grandparents go or they just grew up going to church, it's just something they do. Lord, as people walk through the doors of a church, maybe for the first time or the first time in a long time, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would stir hearts and minds and draw people to you, that they would repent of their sins and trust Christ, knowing you for themselves. And those that do know Christ would have the fire of their faith fanned by the Holy Spirit, and they would feel that renewal of their faith, that drawing close to you, and you would just begin to work in them, Lord. And Father, we pray not just for Easter Sunday, and Lord, there's so many churches that emphasize and pour so much into that weekend, and I understand why, because there's people that may come for the first time, and I get it. But Lord, I pray that it wouldn't just be about one day. I pray that it would be about consistent, continual work of the Holy Spirit, that people would come on Easter and the next Sunday and the week after and the week after, but not just to attend a service, but because they truly believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and that knowledge of the resurrection changes everything. Lord, do I live as a follower of Christ really believing that Jesus rose from the dead? Because I think if we really believe that, Lord, it would affect how we live every single day. We wouldn't just show up at a building and sing some songs and then go home. It would be transformative change every single day. We would pray different. We would live different. We would love different. And Lord, so I just pray you would do a work in this community. We pray as a church, as one body, for an awakening in this nation, in this state, in this county. And I pray that it would be tangible, that we would see things that would actually change the culture. Lord, where homes would be healed, relationships mended, individuals would know they're loved by Christ. They would know their sins can be forgiven. They would be drawn close to you, Lord, and we would see real change. Neighbor loving and respecting neighbor. Lord, just things like that we desire so desperately. I pray you would do that work if it be according to your will. Father, again, thank you for all that you're doing. Go with us as we go through this service this evening and get into your word. And as we finish up Matthew 13, I pray for your wisdom and your understanding and your application. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. So we are in verse 36. So that should be, let's see, letter E in your notes. If you have not been with us, I do have a couple copies of Matthew 13. I think this is like the third week we're in Matthew 13. So you've probably gotten one, but if you need one, I do have some extra copies. So is there anyone that needs a copy of Matthew 13? All right. Yep. Anyone else? I'm walking back to the front. I'm at the front. Okay. All right. So we've been going through Matthew 13. What is unique that began to happen in Matthew 13 with the ministry of Christ? What did Jesus begin to do in Matthew 13 that was different than the ministry before? Yes, he starts to teach in parables. Why is he teaching in parables? What are some of the, we gave you a few reasons. What's one of the reasons why he began to teach in parables in his public ministry? Yep. So I love that. The listener has to hear and think, right? You have to hear what I'm saying and actually desire to understand. Absolutely. What's another reason why he began to teach in parables? It is in the notes if you're quick at scanning. I'm sorry? Yep. It's a fulfillment of prophecy, right? That he would begin to teach this way. Absolutely. Fulfillment of prophecy. What else? What was true of the audience that he was teaching? Okay. What about the apostles? Yep. So there were certain things that only the apostles were receiving at this time. It wasn't for everyone to know yet, right? But they would reveal it through scripture. Okay. So there's an aspect of this is for you to understand. It's not for them to understand. But one day you will reveal this to those that, again, want to understand. Right? This is revealed for all who will read it. Isn't that amazing? Anyone can pick this book up and read it, but only those who want to know what it means and are willing to humble themselves and say, Lord, I need your wisdom. I need your understanding. Then they now have application and understanding of the word, right? So it is revealed, but again, takes work, right? One other reason that we gave you guys, I believe. Yes, Sandra. Yep, that's what that was said back there. Dale said that. Yep, to fulfill prophecy. It's okay. Yep, to fulfill prophecy. Yeah.
I don't know if this is in the notes or not, because I don't have my notes on me. But
oh, would you want a copy?
No, then,
okay.
Okay. Just because I don't want to take another copy.
But no, you're fine.
But for judgment, because okay, like what you were just saying, you know, because if you don't want to know, if you think that you don't need, or you are already there, you're not going to look into these things so that they can be revealed to you.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. Yeah, it's a form of judgment, right? The hardness of heart of the audience, right? They had already predetermined that Jesus was not the Messiah. In fact, before this, they even accused Jesus of doing miracles in the power of who? Satan, right? So again, they're hard-hearted. They're not listening. So it's a form of judgment on the audience. So we've going to look at the wheat and tares explained. So the wheat and tares explained. If you look back, we talked about the wheat and tares in the parables of the kingdom of heaven. And so we talked about that. It was the first one mentioned under letter D. And so the wheat and the tares is one of those parables about the kingdom. And now we see Jesus explains the meaning of this parable. So verses 36 through 43. If I can get a volunteer who'd like to read that for us, verses 36 through 43, who'd like to read that? Dale, awesome. Awesome. Thank you, sir. So there's that phrase again, right? He's used that to talk to the public, the public ministry, right? The audience. Now who's he speaking to? His disciples. So he's saying, hey, you guys need to listen. By the way, there was one disciple who really needed to listen, who did not, right? That being Judas. And so again, he's using the crowd, sending them away, and went into the house, instructing the disciples privately. So we already saw this earlier. Right? While he was on the boat with the disciples, he didn't send the crowd away, but he seems to have a conversation with the disciples in the boat apart from the crowd. He explains some things to the disciples the crowd's not privy to. Now he actually departs away from the crowd, goes into this home, and the disciples said, hey, tell us the meaning of that. I don't want to spend too much time on that, but it's so important that when we want to understand the word of God, go to the author of the word. Right? We go to so many other sources, and I'm all for utilizing sources. I love reading commentaries and authors and pastors and great works that men and women have put together over the years, and great wise men and women, right? There are individuals that have written some commentaries or contributed to commentaries that have forgotten more about the Word of God than I'll ever know, right? They're just wired in a way that God has gifted them with such an intellect that they can sit down and look at the word and they just get it. And they can write these amazing volumes. And a lot of them, it's multiple volumes of works. I'm not opposed to research and diving in and looking in. But the very first thing we should do before we read the word and after is to pray. And so many times, if you're like me, I start reading and I'm like, wait a minute, I didn't even ask the author to tell me what this says. And then we finish reading and we're just this quick little prayer and we're out the door. Because sometimes we'll read a verse and we go, well, I know what this means. And we'll just jot down the answer and leave. Rather, spend time with the one that's authored it saying, Holy Spirit, would you give me wisdom in this? Now, I'm not saying you're going to get some super secret knowledge, because there are some that teach that. I'm saying that we should just seek the author and say, first, I want to know what this says from you. And I love that they had a question and they didn't go to one another. They went to him and they said, what does this mean? So he explained it. The good seed is sowed by the Son of Man, and the wheat are the children of the kingdom. They will shine forth in the Father's kingdom. The field is the world, which Jesus revealed the four types of hearts or soils in the world. Do you see the connection? He's sowing seed in the four soils. So which of the four soils is the wheat? Which soil did the wheat grow in? Of the four soils? The good soil, right? Nothing else grows wheat. Why? Because nothing else was fruitful. The other three soils were not fruitful. Letter C, the bad seed is sowed by the devil. Now, does that mean that the devil took over and controlled that person and made them wicked? No. He's saying they're in agreement with the devil. They're of their father, the devil, because they're in their sinful state. The bad seed is sowed by the devil, and the tares that result are the children of the wicked one. They will be cast into fire where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And we see this phrase a lot in Scripture. The harvest is the end of the world or age, and the reapers are the angels. So when you see this talked about, it's important to note that earlier it talked about the idea of the wheat and the tares growing together. And what did they ask? Well, do we go in and we rip out all the tares? And what does Jesus say? Nope. Wait, let them grow together. The Bible makes it clear that in churches all across this country, in churches all across this world, there are wheats and there are tares. And they are attending the same churches. They go to the same church. They're in the same Bible studies. They're part of the same ministries. And yet one walks with Christ, knows Christ, and one is a child of the wicked one. And yet, to look at them, you may not even be able to distinguish at first glance, which is which. But how do we begin to know who's wheat and who's tares? By the fruit they produce. And Jesus says, even if you are deceived, even if you're not sure, he says, I know. I know exactly who's who. And at the end of the age, my angels will go and reap, asks again here in verses 51 through 52. Look with it at me, please. Jesus asks, we already covered these other passage in the previous kingdom parables, but look at verse 51. Jesus saith unto them, have you understand all these things? They say unto him, yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. That's an interesting question. Jesus asks if they understood all these things. What are all these things? What's included in that phrase, all these things? All the parables he just taught them, right? All these examples of what he's saying. And what's their answer? Yeah, we get it. Did they really get it?
No.
No. How do we know they didn't get it?
Because they asked.
What's that?
Because they asked.
Okay, they asked some of the parables, but after this, what do they display? A lack of understanding, right? They do understand in a sense, meaning, yeah, Lord, we get what you're saying, but they didn't really fully understand yet, right? But there's going to come a time where they will begin to understand in a fuller sense. Again, I'm assuming that their understanding grew as the Spirit filled them and led them through the book of Acts. And isn't God so good? You ever get done with reading a passage of Scripture, and as you're praying, it's like the Lord's like, do you get that? And you're like, yeah, Lord, I get it. And then a week or two goes by and something happens and you fail to apply what you know the passage said to do. And then you go, man, Lord, I thought I got it. We do understand it, but there's a big difference between understanding it and applying it. Like knowing what the words mean and knowing how it's evidenced in our life. And so again, they just answered, I really think they believe that. Yeah, we get it. But yet there's times you're like, yeah, Lord, I got it. And you think you know, but then you walk through some roads and you're like, oh, Lord, now I know. Now I'm starting to understand. And again, God is so gracious to walk with us through those seasons. And by the way, God doesn't laugh at us when we say, yeah, I know. Because when they said this, he's kind of like, okay, You don't really, but that's nice that you think you do, right? And he talks about the idea that they've been instructed unto the kingdom of heaven. They've been given this wisdom, right? And they're going to reveal these things to the church. Letter G in your notes. We see here the passage kind of wraps up with the return of Jesus to Nazareth. The return of Jesus to Nazareth. So verses 53 through 58, if someone would like to read that for us. Verses 53 through 58, who'd like to read that? Britt, awesome, thank you. Awesome, thank you. So here we have this return to Nazareth. So here Jesus leaves the area of Capernaum and returns to Nazareth, his hometown. He begins teaching in the synagogue, and due to the astonishment, it may have been for even a few days. So he may have been teaching for a few days, and the people are astonished at his teaching. One commentary suggests that this visit may be in response to chapter 12, verse 47. Chapter 12, verse 47. Let's go back there just for a second. Chapter 12 and verse 47. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brother stand without, desiring to speak with thee. And what does Jesus say in response? He takes this moment to teach an important lesson. But he answered and said unto them that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward the disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of the Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. So some people think, well, he's kind of disconnecting himself from his family. That's not really what he's doing. What he's saying is, our relationships have changed. And we see this when we talked about Mary at the foot of the cross. What does Jesus call Mary when he speaks to her from the cross? Woman. He doesn't say mother. He uses the term woman at the beginning of his earthly ministry and at the end of his earthly ministry because he's recognizing our relationship has changed. But does his love for her remain? Yes. We know that. He entrusts her care. Some people have suggested that kind of desire to speak with Jesus led him, when it was time, to go back home and spend some time in Nazareth. And again, the Gospel of Matthew doesn't tell us all that Jesus did in Nazareth, right? We don't know. He maybe spent some days in the temple or in the synagogue teaching, but he also probably spent some time with his family, right? He loves his family and he cares for them. So again, this could have been in response to his family wanting to speak with him. And so Jesus continued to minister as he displayed the priority of his work. Maybe he returned to Nazareth because he still had a compassion for those he grew up around. He still loves these people because he spent his life up to 30 years old in this town. Now, the response to his visit is interesting. How do the people respond? Well, first, they were astonished at his teaching and mighty works. They also had a hard time distinguishing Jesus the Christ from Jesus the neighbor. They asked, where did Jesus get all these things? So what does that reveal to us about Jesus the neighbor when he was 22, 24, 25, living in Nazareth? What does that reveal to us about that time?
He was just like them. Yes. He didn't stand out at that point.
Seemingly, they didn't recognize anything unique about him, right? And what does Isaiah say about the Messiah? You'll look at him and what? You won't think much. He's going to look pretty normal, pretty ordinary. He's not very appealing, right? He's not very attractive, right? Which is why it's funny we make Jesus so pretty in our modern art. And that mostly comes from the Middle Ages. That comes from those depictions, right, in those times. Sandra.
It's still kind of weird to me, though, because, I mean, Jesus never said, sin, so like I feel like that would stand out.
Right, right. So I've thought about that, people who desire to follow the law. And we know that they think about, but if they did sin, I kind of think it about our culture today. Think about it if somebody goes to like a legalistic church, right? And it's basically taught, if you do sin, don't tell anybody because we're going to condemn you and shun you and kick you out. So we know everyone sins at some point, but on the surface, everyone's trying to look perfect. So I think about it in that little town, that little community. They're all trying to obey the law, and if they do stumble and fall, they're going to do as much as they can to not let that out. So maybe in one sense, it seemed like it was a pretty good little town. Everybody was pretty well following the law. But we know even behind closed doors, Jesus was sinless, right? But others in that town behind closed doors were a different thing. So I kind of think of it that way. Maybe they just kind of looked at it like their neighbor, like, well, we're all trying to be good people. We're all pretty moral. We're all pretty good. And we just don't talk about the rest of it, which again kind of implies even with Mary, why Mary could have been treated so poorly, because she was one that was seen as an open sinner, right? It was open and it was clear that she obviously sinned in their minds. So again, it could be that as well, right? But yes, it shows us that Jesus, as far as we know, in his public life, whatever that was in Nazareth, was not anything remarkable, because when he starts to teach and do these things, they're completely astonished. And what's their question? But this is just Jesus. We know Jesus. We know his family. This is just the carpenter's son. Also, in your notes there, what else is true? They were offended at Jesus. They were offended at Jesus. This word carries the idea of someone trying to trip you up or cause you displeasure. And that's what Jesus came to do. He came to shake things up. The people, yes, were astonished, but not in faith. They were not astonished unto repentance. Man, he's so amazing. He's so powerful. He's so majestic. I need to put my faith and trust in him. They were astonished because of who they saw Jesus to be, just a human being. And they couldn't believe this guy could teach these things, and they were offended at him. So they were not astonished in faith, but believing he was the Christ. They were astonished that familiarity and that simple Jesus could say such mighty things and do such mighty things. One author writes this: in their minds, they already knew who Jesus was based on his childhood. They were not only disinterested in more information, they were insulted at the idea that someone like Jesus could be so important. The sense of this passage is that the Nazarenes thought the hometown boy was trying to rise above his place. Who are you, Jesus, to come in here and teach us? What authority do you have? That's really how the passage reads. It's not, we're so astonished we need to submit to you. It's, whoa, 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 whoa. You're stepping outside of your place. You're just a carpenter's son. So it reads more this idea of offense and displeasure than submission. Number three. Oh, go ahead. Yep.
I was going to say as well, like the word you used,
familiarity. Yeah. Yep.
The word I'm trying to say breeds contempt, right?
Yep.
So, and there's so many like times where you hear about famous people, and I specifically think of like all these like, you know, well-respected pastors, like you'll hear stuff like MacArthur or Sproul.
Sure.
Different people talk about like, you know, like nobody's just going to barge in their office.
Yeah. Yep.
So,
yep.
And because it's like, you're just my grandfather, you know, like, and in that case, it's like a reverse familiarity, right?
Right.
Like, you know, of course, you're my grandfather, I'm going to barge in. But, you know, a lot of times, too, like, the MacArthur also told the story of, like, you know, why don't you act like that at home? What you preach, you know?
Right.
You
know, yep. His wife. Like, yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, it's just like the people not that familiar with that person or individual are like, oh, that's. Whereas the people in their life, they're like, yeah, that's.
Yeah. You know, he's just a normal guy.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. No, absolutely. And I think it can breed contempt, but also it can just be a level of, well, we know you. We grew up with you in any sense, right? Absolutely. Absolutely. Did you have something, brother? I saw your hand.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't want to.
No, you're good.
Get a sidetrack, but my question keeps coming up. Why didn't they, you know, the paralytic heal, the miracles of healing he did, all these things, he cast out demons. Didn't they take that in consideration?
Well, it seems like, and this happens a lot in Scripture, where, think about the Pharisees. They saw all those things as well, firsthand. But because Jesus did not fall into their mode of what they thought Jesus should be, they recognized we either have to say he's doing this in the power of Satan, all his miracles and works, and we can dismiss him, or we have to say he's of God. And if he's of God, then he's the Messiah, and we have to submit to him. And in their hardness of heart, they did not want to do that. In a similar sense here, they could either say, well, he's doing these works, but are they legitimate? Are they real? That's why they were so shocked. Like, how is he teaching these things? We're going to dismiss him because we don't want to submit to his authority. Or we have to say he is of God, and we have to submit to him. And it's really the same thing today, right? The word of God is clearly a record of all the great works that Jesus did. The resurrection is one of the most historically reliable attested to events in human history, and yet people would dismiss it. Why? Because if he really did rise from the dead, then this is all true. And if it's all true, I have to submit to him. But that means I lose power, I lose control, I lose my own authority. So I don't want to do that, so I'll just dismiss the whole thing and say he was a nutcase. So it's a similar sense of that. They're dismissing the works because they don't like what Jesus stands for, or what that might mean they have to do and surrender and give up, is the idea of what I think of there too. Yeah.
Which is kind of funny because you don't have authority for.
Yes. Yes. Well, it's like we've said before, like Christ has all authority on heaven and earth, whether we recognize him as having that authority or not. Just because we say you don't have that authority doesn't mean he loses it. It's just like the kings of the Old Testament. When Israel said, we want a king to rule over us, not you, you know, God. We don't want you ruling over us. It's not like he was like, okay, I'm done ruling over you. He still ruled over them. It's just whether or not we recognize it, submit to it, and live in the joy of knowing the king as our father.
And it's just that saying MacArthur always said as well, just in the beginning God created, and man has been returning the favor ever since.
Yep. Yep.
Our gods, right?
Yep.
Like, so we, our hearts are the idol factories, and we are at the pinnacle of the temple or the little, you know, whatever, the little statue.
Yep.
That's our little, you know, I can't think of the word, but you know what I mean? Like where you put the work, the idol.
Yes.
The,
yep.
Not the stand, but you know, whatever. So, but we worship ourselves.
Yes. Yep.
What we worship. And we think we should be God, not God.
Right.
So
yep.
It's just.
Right.
How I want, why I want.
Yep. That's why one of the most contested passages or parts of scripture is going to always be Genesis 1 through 3. If you can eliminate God as creator, you eliminate God as the authority. And so that's why when people are like, it doesn't really matter what you believe about Genesis 1 and 2 and creation, it 1,000% does. It matters because what you believe about how this all started. And was there really a real Adam that really sinned, that really led us into sin and to death and the need of a savior? If you eliminate that, you eliminate the gospel. And so why would the enemy not attack those portions of scripture? Because if they can get rid of that, it eliminates the need of a savior. And so, and it puts us in the driver's seat, right? Absolutely. Yeah.
And just going with Genesis, well, Genesis became a
Mm-hmm.
I think you said that once or twice or three or four or five times. Like,
yes.
Male and female, male and female, male and female. I mean, and I'm not saying that it was specifically written for a time such as this.
Sure.
But it certainly comes in handy.
Sure,
for
yeah.
A time such as this,
yes,
right?
Yes. And it just, well, oh, in sin, we're always going to fight against God's created order. Mm-hmm. That's really the key, is we're always going to resist that. All right, number three in your notes as we wrap up. We see the rest of the passage as well. Side note here, we give a record of Jesus having siblings. Right? Brothers and sisters, which you either have to make mean that Mary or that Joseph had children outside of his relationship with Mary, which we have no record of, or this means Mary and Joseph had more children after Christ, which would mean that Mary was not a perpetual virgin, was not, as the Catholic Church believes, a virgin the rest of her life, that she was a normal human being who had children, which scripture makes very clear here. But then he makes this comment. In verse 57, he talks about the idea that when they were offended at him, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And so this is the response of Christ. We read the response of the crowd, the people. What is the response of Christ? Well, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. Now, this is not a quote. So Jesus is giving his own authoritative proverb. You will not find this as a quote in Isaiah or Proverbs or any Old Testament record of these specific words being used this way. But Jesus is giving this proverb of his own. A more straightforward wording would be, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his own family. With this statement, Jesus recognizes the discredited prophets and ministers of the Lord often confront among their closest relatives, friends, and neighbors. Crowds of people throughout the region were hearing Christ's message, witnessing his mighty works, and responding in faith to God. But the people of his own country and own house rejected his message and claims. His own country is Nazareth, where Jesus grew up. His own house is his family. Jesus' own brothers didn't believe in him or accept his messianic claims until after his resurrection. It's vital not to miss the deeper meaning cloaked in the references to his own country and his own house. The Israelites as a nation, his own country, and the Jews as a people, his own house, were rejecting Christ's message and claims as they had rejected so many prophets before him. And so Jesus is using this one moment to unpack all of this in his literal family and in his family, the nation of Israel. So in conclusion, in your notes here, in this chapter we read the seven parables of the kingdom, starting the first with how we are ushered into the kingdom by the word. Then we are encouraged by the reality of that word working in our hearts, minds, and lives to produce godly fruit. We are also encouraged with the reminder of God's ultimate sovereignty over all things. He will judge one day and make all things right. We can live as children of the kingdom, sharing our faith with others, enjoying the wonderful treasure we have found, a pearl above price. And so what a praise that we know we are children of the kingdom. This is not our home. This is not our home. My allegiance, our allegiance as followers of Christ is first and foremost to him and his kingdom. Everything is second to that. Yes, we should have allegiance to our family, allegiance to our nation, allegiance to our loved ones. But all of that's secondary to our allegiance to Christ alone. He is number one. Nothing takes that spot because we are not citizens spiritually of America. Spiritually, we're citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We just happen to be living for this season and this time in this nation. But this is not our home. We are passing through. The Bible says we are sojourners. It means that we're taking up a residence in a place that is not our home. And one day we will leave this place. And so we need to endeavor to make sure we're investing in the kingdom to come, not focusing only on the area in which we live now. And so again, just an encouragement, God will make it right. And I'm so thankful he will decide the wheat and the tares. And I don't have to spend every day of my life dividing between those two. He will take care of that. All we need to do is keep, by his grace, sowing seed, right? As he gives us that ability to do.
Being in scripture. And so even like I was so exhausted, but I'm like, you're going. So just to be here.
Amen.
In the word is so awesome. And then I learned something, not that I know it all, obviously. I don't know anything. But I really never understood before the parable of the mustard seed.
Yes.
That was sanctification.
Yes.
Amen.
So yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, yeah. So it starts off a little baby, but yeah, like that's right. You do grow in Christ.
And
so
I,
that was cool.
Amen.
But the last thing I want to say is about when you were saying we're sojourners and that we're, you know, on our way home, right?
Mm-hmm.
Passing through. But again, with that picture of the nave and the ship, and that the church is the ship by which we make it home.
Yep.
And that we are all sojourning together.
Amen. Yes.
To pray for one another, bear one another's burden. Like, this is the vessel. The church is the vessel that God moves us onto our next, our true home.
Amen.
So, yeah, it's just such a beautiful thing.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and pray and ask the Lord to be with our remainder of our nights. And again, to affirm these things in our hearts and minds. Father, we thank you, Lord, as was said, for your word. Just to dive into scripture is such a blessing. And I'm so thankful, Lord, as was shared for the church, the community, the body of believers that come alongside us and help us to move through this life and all of its trials and all of its difficulties, but to be that voice, to be that encouragement, to be that strength, that as we endure this life, as we travel through this life, that we know that one day we will see you face to face. And I'm so thankful that we have those around us that will lift us up and, Lord, at times even carry us through difficulties. As they're lifting us up in prayer and as they're encouraging us, they are there picking us up. And so, Father, thank you for that support that we all desperately need. Help us to be that for someone else, to see beyond our own desires, our own wants, our own needs, our own hurts, but to see how can we be a blessing to someone else this week. So, Father, again, we thank you for that. Pray, Father, you just remind us that you are in control and that you are working all things for your glory. And one day you will divide, you will reap, and those in Christ will be with you, and we will shine forth, not from anything that we have within us, but as we reflect the glory of the Father. And so, Father, thank you for that guarantee of eternal life. Pray that you would be glorified. And again, thank you, Lord, for allowing us to serve you. And may we do so this week as we continue to seek revival and an awakening in this country, in this community. May you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.